But it was a week in which another Dundon was put behind bars. A young woman from Dungannon was jailed in Peru after a sizeable quantity of cocaine was found in her luggage. And a third Irish athlete joined the elite club of world champions. Well, for a look back at those stories and a look forward to the reconvening of the Shannon and possibly the Dáil next week, depending on numbers, I'm joined in studio by former Fine Gael Minister for Justice, Nora Owen. Willie O'Dea, Fianna Fáil TD for Limerick City, is in our Limerick studio, and former Minister for Defence and journalist Noreen Hegarty. Sorry, Noreen Hegarty is obviously
not the Minister
former
for
Minister for Defence.
I was looking to see where, yeah, where epaulettes and
you
everything
were. You weren't aware of that, Nora, sitting
no,
around
I
the cabinet table.
No,
but,
I wasn't.
She was,
no.
She was there, I assure you. Anyway,
she was so secretive then that she had to be kept out of the room.
Black ops,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. Let us go to the former Minister of Defence, Willie O'Dea, in Limerick. First of all, good morning to you, Willie.
Good morning, Miles.
The John Dundon verdict. You must be getting a sense of, or you must have a sense of what it means to the city of Limerick.
Well, you know, people have asked me whether the Limerick people feel more safe now that this verdict has come in. And my response would be that the people of Limerick have felt more safe, felt a lot safer for quite some time because of the outstanding success of the local Gardaí in dealing with gangland crime and putting a lot of those major gangland figures behind bars. I suppose Tuesday's verdict is something of a watershed. It's not over yet. As you know, it has been mentioned that an appeal will be lodged. So we're going to have to, you know, await the outcome of that, presumably, if it goes ahead. It has been a very traumatic 5 years for the Gagan family. You know, can you imagine, you know, their reaction to the death of their son, particularly in the circumstances? And, you know, I want to reiterate my sympathy for the Gagan family and also for the Collins family. I mean, let's not forget Steve Collins had his son gone down simply because he was brave enough to give evidence in court in relation to which, as a result of which, somebody was convicted. So, you know, I just want to again reiterate my congratulations for the Gardaí and the work they've done, and to extend my sympathy not just to the Gagan family and the Collins family. I could mention people like Mary Cronin from Janesborough, whose son was murdered, Mrs. Michael Campbell McNamara's mother, whom I also know, unfortunately or fortunately as the case may be, I know an awful lot of the victims and their families. So, you know, I mean, as I say, the Gardaí have been getting on top of this situation for quite some time, but Tuesday, I suppose, is something of a watershed.
How have they done it? How have they achieved this? Are we talking about swamping certain areas of the city? Because the statistics are very, very interesting. The marked statistics about the reduction in gun attacks, for example. The reduction in fatalities, but also the reduction in the number of attacks.
Well, we've always been fortunate to have a very, very good detective force in Limerick. And there has been, of course, an element of swamping, as you say. But the Gardaí also have established, as far as I can see, they have established a fantastic intelligence network. And they are very tenacious, very, very, not only are they skilled, but they are very tenacious in the pursuit, particularly of gangland crime. And, you know, they never give up, as it were, and the results are evident to everybody.
Nora Owen, obviously.
Yes,
this is
just
something...
hi, Willie. Good morning, Nora, to you. The 2009 Criminal Justice Amendment Act brought in the whole issue of being member of a gang and everything. So, Willie is right to point out that any appeal on this case will be really significant, that, you know, that the conviction
holds. It
will
test holds. That legislation.
Yes, that
because now essentially what that did was it left organised crime in the purview of the Special Criminal Court.
Yes, it did. And but also in this instance, this is an interesting conviction because he's not being convicted. He's being convicted of directing and organising the shooting of a person. And sadly,
which
it turned out to be Shane.
Of that,
yes,
legislation as
so,
well.
So I'd be really watching the appeal system very carefully to make sure there was a conviction back in 2012 testing that legislation about being a member of a gang. In this instance, he wasn't charged with being a member of a gang. He was charged with directing and being responsible for this. And it is a tribute to the Gardaí, but there must be a lot of relief there. Sadly, this is a man of only 30 years of age who has obviously driven fear through the whole of Limerick. When he goes in behind, one has to hope that perhaps some of his fellow gang members will recognise how it isn't possible now to get away with some of the things they've been getting away
can
with.
Can I just make the point there, Nora? Good
yes.
morning to you.
Morning.
Just in relation to what you say there, you see, you're right in the sense that the 2009 legislation introduced measures to convict people or to prosecute people for directing gangland crime, which was a lacuna in the law. But in this case, I don't think it was particularly relevant. It was relevant only in the sense that the special gangland crime was brought within the purview of the Special Criminal Court because of the 2009 legislation. What happened actually in this case, as I understand it anyway, is that co-conspirators or people who were actually witnesses to the planning and the execution of the crime actually came forward. So I think the conviction was probably less due to the legislation and more so due to the witnesses being prepared to come forward. Mm. And you know, I'll tell you, I told my former colleague Dermot O'Hearn several times during the course of the passage of the 2009 legislation that I thought he was making too many compromises at the time, and there are a number of weaknesses now that have manifested themselves in that legislation which the Gardaí have brought to my attention. So I think that legislation needs to be tightened up fairly urgently.
Yes.
Yeah. Let me to bring in Noreen at this point. It's a remarkable victory for the Gardaí, but I suppose on the basis of what Willie and Nora are saying, it remains to be seen whether it's a remarkable victory for the state, doesn't it?
Well, I think there was very strong political will to address the situation in Limerick, and that combined with the legislation, as we've talked about, with dogged and tenacious policing, has brought the situation to where it is now. I mean, if you look at the statistics, Miles, in 2007 there were 103 gun-related attacks in Limerick alone. There hasn't been a gun attack in Limerick in 19 months. Now, that's a huge relief to the people of the city and the people of the country. And it appears that the gangs that were invincible and invulnerable have been thwarted. There's about 60 members of the Calliope, Keane and the McCarthy Dundon gangs in jail now. I think from now on, the question is, how do you continue this? And I think it's not just about good policing. It's about continuing the regeneration in Limerick. Mm-hmm. I mean, the poverty, the isolation that breeds gangs is still there. And it's about addressing that and ensuring that there isn't a new generation. If you remember back years ago, Larry Dunn, when he was the biggest heroin dealer in Ireland, said, if you think we're bad, look who's coming after us.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
we want to make sure that the ones coming next are not worse.
That's the problem, because prison terms are not indefinite. So on the one hand, people who are in jail can come out. Now, there is a pattern, and I think I would be fair to say that Larry Dunn is an example of that, that they don't come back, that when they're inside, others do take over.
Well, I've always noticed, and Willie would know this from his time in the Dáil as well, that issues like this tend to be cyclical. You'll have the Larry Dunns, you'll have the whole Dunn family in the 80s. It died down again. Then when I was minister in the 90s, and in fact when Maura Geoghegan was there, you began to see the emerging of the then 15-year-olds, as it were, back in the Larry Dunn time. And they began to emerge. And the fact that so many members of these gangs are now in prison, the guards will tell you that there are certain crimes that they can see. They will know without even opening their newspaper in the morning who's not on the streets, because certain crimes, like, for example, the bashing of car windows around the cities, that dies down when the three or four main perpetrators of that kind of crime end up in jail. And then when they come out, the guards realise that they're back on the streets again. So it really behoves the legislature to be constantly vigilant in updating legislation. As Willie says, the 2009 legislation may well now have gaps in it that can be corrected, and it is up to the legislature now to make any amendments that need to be made.
OK, we'll just move on to discuss the recall of the Seanad. The Seanad will be back next week, Noreen. Is it to discuss the whole issue? Well, this is the question. Is it to discuss the issue of organ donation? Is it to discuss the issue of the scrutiny of EU directives? What exactly is it all about? Is it necessary, do you think, all of this?
I think there's a huge amount of confusion, Miles, about why the Senate is being called back. And Mark Daly hasn't explained it very well. Fianna Fáil haven't explained very well what the reason for this is. My understanding is that this is a directive, a pretty dry EU directive, about quality and safety issues in relation to organ donation and transplantation. It's not, as I originally thought, about the opt-out clause, because the vast majority of people think that's a really good idea.
Well, this is what the Irish Donor Network has pointed out, that they've described it as a red herring.
That's basically right. And I fear that because the Irish Kidney Association and Mark Daly, who has been supported by them, and the Donor Network, seem to be at odds with this, it creates a sense among people of what the heck is going on. And surely what we all want to do is create an environment where there is a greater take-up in terms of people offering organs for donation. Now, I know there are issues about having a centralised donation system and having coordinators and all of that. But I think that's a totally separate issue. Mm-hmm. And why don't we just get on with it, pass the EU directive, and then have the debate about how we can improve things nationally ourselves?
What but is it about, Willie?
It is passed. Let Willie explain. No,
what is it about? As far as you're, is it about organ donation? Is it about a kit? You know, an organ, an authority, a specific authority, or is it about the wider issue of the scrutiny of EU directives?
It is. It's the latter more than anything else, as I can understand it. Basically, this is a new.
You seem a little bit uncertain.
This is an EU directive. This is an EU directive, which deals with. It's a pretty complex
an EU directive, which
be,
your party spokesman actually had to have parliamentary question down. Demanding to know if the minister had actually implemented the directive.
Yes, of course, of course. I mean, look, nobody disagrees with the idea of centralisation. Nobody disagrees with the idea of a common safety standards. Nobody disagrees with the idea of a definite link being established between the donor and the recipient of an organ. But there's a bit more in the directive. It's a fairly complex directive. It's difficult enough to understand. I've read it a couple of times. It's difficult enough to get my head around the actual wording. Basically, what Mark Daly and Fianna Fáil are seeking to do is to have this discussed before it actually goes into law. I mean, you know, to have it subject. Well, it is law, but to have it discussed to see if the EU directive, first of all, has been properly implemented. There's always an element of discretion for national governments in how they interpret and implement EU directives into domestic law. All Mark Daly, as I understand it, is saying is that this should be properly thrashed out. It's a complex area, and it's difficult to imagine an area that's more sensitive.
So could it not be thrashed out in, or could it not have been thrashed out in April? Can it not be thrashed out in October?
Well, it wasn't thrashed out in April because it was up to the government to put it on the agenda to be thrashed out. That wasn't done. The minister simply signed it into law, a complex EU directive into law, without any discussion. And I think it's not unreasonable to expect that Parliament, who is there to represent the interests of the people, should have the opportunity to scrutinise this.
Willie, don't be disingenuous. You were a minister for a long time.
I was.
When a minister gives a ministerial order, statutory instrument, it is laid, and you, in your government, you would have laid hundreds of these before the Houses of the Oireachtas through the library. The system is much better now. It's now electronically done. This directive was laid before the Houses of the Oireachtas on September the 18th, 2012. And Mark Daly, now I don't underestimate, I'm sure Mark Daly has a deep interest in the whole issue of organ transplant.
He's been in the studio.
This directive is specifically about the safety of the organs. It's not about who can or can't be a donor. And the minister followed all the rules, as I understand it, and it cannot. There's no point in discussing it in the Senate. It can only be annulled, according to the AG, if the European Committee on Scrutiny of Legislation, that's the European Affairs Committee on Scrutiny of Legislation, asks for it to be annulled. And they have not done that. So what happens is the minister writes a statutory instrument or an order. It goes before the library. If a member wants to raise it within 21 days of laying it before the library, they can. That wasn't done. And all the rowing about whether it could or couldn't. What would be the purpose of having even the Shannon and Dáil recall? They haven't the power to annul this. And also, why would we annul this directive? We have an obligation to put it in place. It's important that the safety of organ donors, of the organs, be certified. It did allow for either a single authority or multiple authorities, and the minister has assigned the Irish Medicines Board and the HSE. So what Mark Daly has done perhaps is good in one way, that he has raised the whole issue, but let him participate in the committees that are now in place discussing the future of who can or can't be, the opt-in, the opt-out of being a donor. And just to explain the opt-out, there are people who firmly believe that we should all be donors unless we actually say we don't want to be a donor, because our level of donations are low.
That is not up for discussion.
Just make one more point, Willie, if you don't mind.
Okay.
There's one other issue that hasn't been addressed so far this morning, and that is the cost of recalling the Senate. You know, in an environment where we're really conscious of that, where we're talking about abolishing it, there's a referendum in the autumn, and I think people people are just totally perplexed by this move by Fianna Fáil, backed by Sinn Féin. And Alex White made the point this morning that Billy Kelleher said last year it's 100,000 a day to run the Dáil.
Yeah.
Well, how much is it to run the Senate for a day?
Mm-hmm. Okay, just respond.
First of all, to take the points one by one. First of all, yes, of course, we all sign off. Ministers all sign off on statutory instruments. Most of the statutory instruments, I must say, that I signed off on were pretty routine. This is a horse of a very different colour. I mean, this is a very, very complex and a very, very sensitive matter. And I think it's not unreasonable to expect it to be discussed. I mean, Nora has said, you know, what's the point, etc. And
it wasn't discussed in draft form. You're saying
that it was laid before. Both houses, it was laid in the library. Anybody could raise it within 21 days. Well, you might as well say that, you know, let's lay the finance bill in the library and let somebody raise it within 21 days. I mean, this is a matter, I think, that should be discussed. And the difficulty, Mark Daly, and the difficulty the rest of us has is that the Irish Kidney Association, who have quite a bit of expertise in this area and who are people directly involved, feel that there's something wrong with this and that it should, that there are questions about it at least, and that it should be discussed. Now, if I can raise the question...
No, they don't feel there's something wrong with it. They do want to discuss it only because they wanted to go further. But the directive doesn't allow it to go further. They want to discuss,
Dora. Well, that is a matter which we'd have to thresh out, both the Dáil and the Senate. That's precisely why we want to discuss it, to see how far we can take it. Because, as you know, the government have a fairly wide discretion in most cases where they're actually implementing EU directives.
But really, could I just read you the name of it?
But no, that's why the Irish Kidney
Association... It's the quality and safety of human organs intended for transplantation.
I've read the directive now. Yes. I've read the directive and I have to bow to the superior knowledge and experience of the Irish Kidney Association who want this directive trashed out to see how far it can actually be taken and to see whether the government is implementing it in the best possible manner. Now, can I deal with the question of cost? It's a bit artificial to talk about, you know, an extra sitting, you know, of the Dáil or the Senedd costing 100,000. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, that's an average figure. You just take the total cost of the Dáil or the Senedd divided by the number of days it is set, and you come up with a figure. As you will know, Nora, this is often raised with the Minister for Justice. People say that it's 130,000 or something like that to keep a prisoner in prison for a year. That doesn't mean that because you have one more or less prisoner, it's 130,000 more.
How much
or
does
less.
It cost to keep 60 senators?
The fact of the matter is that the main cost there will be the senator salaries, of course, and the officials, and they're going to be paid anyway.
You're talking about lighting
and heating for the day. Well, we'll gain a proper discussion in it to see if the government have any options other than the one they have adopted without any consultation or any discussion with anybody.
You can't annul it or amend it.
Well, that remains to be seen. I think you can discuss it and you can go back. I don't really agree. I mean, I think you can discuss it if you discover that it can be taken further or it can be implemented in a different and more beneficial way. I think you can go back to the EU Commission to see if that's acceptable. I'm going to have to
leave it there because first we have to take a break before the end of the programme. My thanks to Nora Owen, to Noreen Hegarty and to Willie O'Dea. And my apologies again, Willie, for arbitrarily stripping you of your former defence portfolio at the
and
the beginning.
Promoting Noreen.
And promoting Noreen. Well, I don't know if Noreen would see it as a promotion. She's a journalist. I mean, do you want to be Minister of Defence if you're a journalist?
I feel I've always been in public service, even as a journalist.
Absolutely.
Men in uniform and everything.
Thank you all. We'll take a break.